It's like an exhibit at the Smithsonian. Like, I better go. I don't want it right now. I'd rather just watch TV, but it's going to be gone next week. And right? Is it like that?
Exactly.
So now, how is that different than this fucking story they feed you about when you know, you know, it's just going to be the one forever? Compare those two stories.
It's so different, and it is such a line of shit. And the reason why people are unhappy is because of that story. So sad eyes need a new sunrise. Erase the bullets, small in size. Chicken chow mein and chutney. Pump, pump, garden, take away. La, 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 la. Oh, 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 oh.
Ni hao, motherfuckers. Welcome to Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank. I'm Ari Shaffir. My last day in Hong Kong. I'm at a dog park slash regular park. The southeast side, southwest side of Hong Kong Island. Man, what a fun time I had. What a fun time I had. This episode, by the way, is with Jason Nash. He's going to talk about this kind of an honest view of what domesticity has become. How it's like to have kids and a wife and not really get the deal they promised you. Nash is, I wouldn't say unhappy with his marriage, but he's not taken by it the way when you buy something and then you want to like prove that it's the best thing, so you start defending. Get out of here. Fucking mosquitoes. Ugh. It's all blood. It's my blood. How much do you need? Ugh, why did I go out here my last day? It's going to be itchy in the whole plane. Come on, Ari, don't be a cunt. Fucking Hong Kong was great. The whole trip was great. I think since last week, I went to Beijing. I went to the Imperial Palace, the Imperial City, whatever it's called, Forbidden City. And I went to the Great Wall of China. Oh, no, I did it from the Great Wall of China. Okay, I did that. Hong Kong was great, though. I went all over. What a worldly city. It's such a worldly city. Everyone's fucking doing stuff. And the comedians, they come together. They're from all over, but they have this awesome scene that's just starting from scratch. It's just from the ground up. There's no details on it they have to try to fulfill. You know what I mean? They're not trying to be anything. They're just like, well, let's do comedy and let's see where it takes us. You know, they're not learning from anyone else. There's no rules out here for it. It's kind of rad. We all the comedians and then their girlfriends and some other people took a junk boat out around the harbor yesterday. It was fucking awesome. Just a little fucking, I don't know, whatever boat. I'm cursing too much today. We just took it out there. It was probably like an hour ride out there. Then we just jumped off the top, did backflips off the top, swam around. It was just a perfect mix of beer, tons of beer. Perfect mix of beer, Thai food, and acid. And just came together for a wonderful day. Jellyfish swam up to the boat. It was like five or six of them. We didn't care. We just kept swimming. People just kept an eye on it, sort of. Sort of. It was right by the ladder to the boat when people get back in. I was on top and I was like, hey guys, there's a jellyfish like an arm's length away. Nobody got hurt. Yeah, fucking fun. Junk boat. I didn't do that much touristy shit in Hong Kong. Went to the Temple of 1,000 Buddhas, 10,000 Buddhas. That was pretty rad. Up on this hill, they have this giant pagoda. It's literally 10,000 Buddha statues or more. And you have to go way up a hill to get there. Way up this long hill. I'm like, dude, I'm done. I just did the Great Wall of China the day before. And I was like, I can't do this. And but Michael Dorscher took me. He was like, he kept pushing me. So I went there. Then you go to this top of the pagoda where all these Buddhas are looking out. Pretty much on the whole city of Hong Kong. And I went to the top level of that and looked out the window. I took a picture like from behind a Buddha's face. Look at these people. Fucking they treat your dogs like they treat their kids. They just let them do whatever the fuck they want. They like beg. They're running away and they beg for them to come back. They're like, come on, come play. And they chase after the dog. And the dog's like, oh, I got this human trained. They don't listen. They just go, oh. Anyway, fucking mosquitoes. All right, well, my Asian trip is over. 17 days. I'm leaving in about 12, 13 hours for the flight, 14 hours. Fuck. And it was great. Man, it was great. I want to go all over. I've been hearing about tons of like Southeast Asia, how much different that is. I want to come back, go to Seoul, go to fucking lots of places. But Hong Kong was awesome. They said everybody speaks English here, but not the cab drivers. Not the cab drivers. They tell you to take your card with you from your hotel. They have these cards that they give all the Americans. Like, just show this to the cab driver. It says, take me here in Mandarin and Cantonese. I think they all read both. And then you just give it to them and they'll take you there. I didn't take that when I went to Guangzhou. What a mob show at an Irish bar. Forgot it. Made out with a girl. The fucking torrential rain started coming down. And they're torrential. I mean, you walk from the car right inside and you're just soaked. Made out with the girl. She left. I was like, all right, no, you get the first cab. I'll get the next one. We made out for like an hour. And then I got the next cab. And it was like, hey, take me to the West End. And they were like, we don't know what you're talking about. I may as well have been speaking Chinese to them. Fucking four cabs. Like, dude, I got no idea what you're talking about. Like, it's near the railway station. And they're just no language. It's like me going, my name is Tal. And eventually I got out. Every single one of them. Fucking soaked to the bone. At least this is warm rain. They have that hot rain out here. It comes down hard when it comes down. I mean, it almost hurts. Fucking mosquitoes. But yeah, finally I was able to like find my bus ticket, my train ticket, and then like point to what I thought was the railway station. He took me there, and then I was like, I could walk the next 6 blocks to the West End. Fuck. So wet afterwards. Went right to breakfast. It was like 6:30 in the morning. Everyone's out watching World Cup. Everybody watches World Cup here. The bars are mobbed. At 4:45 in the morning, the bars are mobbed. And as soon as the game ends, whatever people are watching, people leave. You know, I know a lot of Americans, myself included, never cared about soccer. But they get into it here. It's not even about rooting for your own team. They all root for their own team, but they just like rooting for all the teams. It's bigger than the Olympics. I really think it is. It's bigger than the Olympics is in America. World Cup here is bigger than the Olympics is in America. And nobody, China's not even in it. Hong Kong, by the way, is called China, but it ain't. They want to maintain their independence. It was given back like 15 years ago. The British owned it for like 100 years. The story I heard is this: how they got it. They wanted to do trade with China, the silk trade, and China was like, yeah, you can have, yeah, sure, buy our silk. And then Britain was like, well, I could buy some of our stuff too, so we don't, you know, you don't get all the money. And China was like, nah, we don't need anything from you. And so Britain was like, what do you mean? All our money's going to you and nothing's coming back to us? So they brought warships to the fucking shore, to right outside Shanghai. And they said, you have to trade with us. Or no, they gave them opium first. That was the opium wars. They gave them opium first. And China was like, no, we're outlawing that. That's just, everyone's going to be hooked on opium. And then they brought the warships that, you know, buy our opium or we're fucking blasting the fuck out of you. So they're like, all right, fine. So this general got Hong Kong Island, whoever is the general of the Navy, they got out there and they got Hong Kong Island. Motherfucker. And then the queen, when they finally got back to England, the queen was like, what? Just an island? It's isolated. They'll never trade with us. We'll all starve to death. And so then they went back. And was like, oh, by the way, we need a better deal. And they're like, no, we already gave you a deal. And they go, warships. And the warships just came out. And then they just, then they got all of Kowloon and a bunch of territories up to Shenzhen. And then all the other countries heard about that too. America, France. So they were like, hey, can we trade with you? And they're like, no. And they're like, warships. And so then Shanghai was just split into like four concessions, they're called. It's just like four quarters where they just like, all right, this is the American city in Shanghai. This is the French part of Shanghai. They did not learn how to fight back at all till way later. No, not even later. They haven't done shit. Oh, they're waiting, you guys. You don't think they care? You don't think they remember? They're waiting. This army they have now, they're going to invade somebody soon. And nobody's going to be able to do a fuck thing about it. All right, let's start the episode. Ari Shaffir, Skeptic Tank, episode 172. What should I call it? Begrudgingly domesticated. Because that's what he is. He didn't want to be like this. He didn't want to be this house husband. This guy with the fucking suburbs and stuff, living in the suburbs. He didn't have those desires at all. Now he's okay with it, but I think he feels like he got a raw deal. It's like when you buy a Honda and you think it's going to cost $20,000 and it costs $50,000. Or maybe it doesn't have a sunroof and it costs $20,000. And you're like, nah, it's still a nice car, but I thought I was going to get a sunroof. Bam, way better metaphor. Anyway, Ari Shaffir, Skeptic Tank, episode 172, Begrudgingly Domesticated, with Jason Nash. You can buy his movie that he just made called Jason Nash is Married. I've heard it's good. I think it's $5. But go to jasonnashismarried.com. You can go to jasonnashismarried.com/buy right now. Might be pre-sale for the rest of the day, but as of Tuesday, it's available. Fucking mosquitoes. Pick it up. It's a guy who worked really hard on something. So that's it. Here we go. And don't forget, Shroomfest is August 9th, 10th, and 11th this year. That's the fullest Saturday, Sunday, Monday, fullest moon of the summer this year. It's August 9th, 10th, and 11th. Fullest weekend moon of the summer. So if anyone doesn't know what Shroomfest is, it's just a holiday like Christmas or St. Patrick's Day. There's no place. It happens all over the world. People take mushrooms at the same time. This is the fourth Shroomfest, I think. So all you got to do to participate is find some mushrooms and then do them. August 9th, 10th, or 11th. Or all. Do whatever you want. People do them all over the world. If you believe in any sort of connectivity with these drugs, well, then we're certainly connected if we're all doing it for the same reason. Across the globe. The sun never sets on Shroomfest, everyone. August 9th, 10th, and 11th. If I were you, I would get on it right now looking for shrooms because they're hard to find sometimes. You got to ask your dirty friends. I wrote a primer about it in my website. You can Google Ari Shaffir Shroomfest primer. You'll find it. But you just got to ask your dirty friends, your hippie friends. And if they don't know where to get it, say, well, do you know who does know how to get it? And then just push them. And then when you eventually find it, you can keep it in a Ziploc in the freezer and it'll stay fine. I've saved them there for like a year before. So it's totally fine for a couple months. And they hit me hard after the year, too. Anyway, here we go. 172. Let's do it. Oh, and the last thing is, I'm in a different place. The last thing is I have my storyteller show, my next storyteller show. This is not happening in Brooklyn. This coming Monday, a week from today. Me, Big J Okerson, he's one of the best storytellers, comedians ever. Michael Che, he's the newest cast member of The Daily Show. And Atlanta's own, Miss Pat, everyone. And then still two more people. I don't know who. But get tickets now because it's a really small space. So hurry up before it sells out. Okay, bye. All right, enjoy the episode 172.
And you may find yourself behind the wheel of a large automobile. And you may find yourself in a beautiful house with a beautiful wife. And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
You going to see her? You going to see your friend tomorrow? It's a holiday tomorrow.
Yeah, David Mark, my last Orthodox friends I'm still friends with from yeshiva. It's Shavuos. It's the day that God gave the Bible to the Jews. God gave us the Torah.
Okay, I never even heard about this. And Shavuos. I'm Jewish.
You're Jewish?
Well, a little bit.
Did you grow up with anything?
We couldn't afford the temple, so.
Oh yeah, every Yom Kippur, it cost the sheikh every down. Yeah. I wonder what they do when people don't have enough money. Just like, I need to go to high holiday services, but I have like $12 in my bank account.
They let you in and they make you feel like crap.
Really?
Yeah. Because we used to go.
Sit in the back? What?
Yeah, you get bad seats.
Yeah. Well, that obviously, that's fair. If you're going to pay $2,000, like, I better sit up front. You know, that's just first class. I get that.
I understand that. But yeah, we used to, like, when we couldn't afford it, they were like, no, it's okay, come. But then we still felt bad, so we didn't go anymore.
Yeah, the Chabad and the Haredi people, they really don't care.
Yeah.
Like the people who really get into it, they're singing and dancing all the time. Like they really, like, we honestly would love to have you here.
Yeah.
But all the normal Jews care.
Well, it was like, it was sort of upper end Jews, like high end Jews.
Like this place, by the way.
Like this?
You're staying in a wonderfully upper-class Republican white neighborhood.
That's right.
Wow. I walked along Central Park to get here.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's nice.
Yeah, it's nice. Everybody here is succeeding. Or a maid of someone who's succeeding. you know? But even that, like everyone I passed, I assumed, was doing some shit good.
Yeah, a lot of guys in ties. I see a lot of exhausted dudes at the end of the day.
Oh yeah,
carrying stuff that they need to take the dry cleaner in a tie. The tie's undone. It's hot.
You think, like, guys, I know you're getting ahead money wise, but you're just losing your life.
Oh yeah,
like you're exhausted, and for what?
I told a story the other night. It was like I got a job right out of college working for like Ernst & Young or something like that.
Did you really?
Yeah, but it was, I didn't even realize what it was. Like, but it was just, we got there in a tie. It was all guys my age, white guys, 22 years old. We just started cold calling people. And I was like, oh my God, what did I get myself into?
And asking them what?
Will you buy insurance?
Oh.
And then I didn't go back the next day.
You just didn't go?
No.
I called once when I wasn't going to come back for telemarketing. They're like, wow, thanks for calling. Like, people just usually don't come back. I was like, oh, yeah, it's such a shitty job. Bothering people. You're bothering everyone.
Yeah.
Hey, Hi, can I interrupt your day for a minute? And just, ugh.
Go deal drugs.
Yeah.
Before you bother me.
Yeah. Whose place is this? You got a fucking deck? Private deck?
What?
Is that a private deck? Is that only for this unit?
Yeah, that's his deck.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Oh, tons of sunlight. The other building is only like a story higher than this one. And that's far off?
Yeah, I said that to him. I said, you are living the life here. He was like, it's okay.
What does he do?
He's a reality producer.
Oh, yeah.
I've been friends with him since high school. He's
the type of reality producer that kills people in the Caribbean and then runs away? Or is he the kind that just produces reality shows in America? Pretty much keeps it above board.
He's the kind of reality producer who like goes to the outback and like has to chase crocodiles.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and like risk his life.
Ooh.
Yeah. It's awful.
Why would he do that? I guess fun. Money. Is he married?
Nope.
Is he gone for the... Is he in like the outback doing stuff now? Is that why you have this place?
No. He'll be home soon and we're going to get oysters.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Oysters help you get boners.
Yeah.
Is that true? I feel like I've heard that.
I mean, I have no problem getting boners, so I have so many boners that I probably can't tell. Another boner in there, I wouldn't even notice.
You ever lie down on your stomach to go to sleep and you have a boner and you're like, come on, man, get out of here. Like, you're getting in the way of me sleeping now. I want less boners.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't come to oysters. That's a giant deck, too.
Yeah, we were just sitting out there and then it started to rain.
Skateboard a little.
I was so eager to, like, show it off to you.
Oh, yeah.
And then it rained.
And it started raining. Sorry. I got here, like, 20 minutes late.
Okay. It's okay. No, it started raining a while ago.
Maybe 30. Right when I got out of my apartment, I was like, oh, I had to go back upstairs for an umbrella. The city's kind of shitty when it rains. It's all right. It's got this nice warm rain that we don't get in LA.
Yeah.
But it's just too wet. You know, everyone's got umbrellas they're bumping you with.
Yeah, it's too wet because you're not in a car.
You're not in a car. That's what it is.
Yeah, if you had to walk everywhere in LA, it'd be too wet.
There's just puddles everywhere, too. This wasn't designed for, like, just puddles.
Yes.
You try to look up so you don't bash people's face with the umbrella, and then you step right in a puddle. It's fucking wet.
How is the winter?
Here?
Yeah.
I went back to LA for the winter.
You did?
I had this great scam where they say I have to be back there for pilot season. I was like, when is that fall again? January to end of March? I'm like, all right, I can do that. Yeah, I want to do that every year. It was so nice in LA this year.
Every day is
a gift. Hit under 70 like more than four times.
No. And I'm so like, it just chills me out so much. I'm like,
oh. Dulls you out?
Yeah, it chills me out.
Yeah.
Like, I go to the beach, I run.
I like these people here trying to like shit on LA and then you bring up the weather and they still try sometimes. Like, well, you know, I like the change of seasons.
Yeah.
And you're like, really? You're going with that? Are you really? What changes seasons when you live in a concrete city? There's no foliage that changes colors. Foliage?
No, fall's beautiful here.
Yeah, it is actually. And it's not so hot. I don't know. I like it all year round, except the winter.
Winter's
when it's 100 degrees in the summer, I'm cool with it. I'll be outside. I'll just sweat.
Yeah?
Yeah, I don't care. You got air conditioning in your apartment. You got air conditioning in most businesses.
But it gets so much hotter here than LA.
It gets so much hotter and muggy. So you like you come into a place and it's like cooled off at night. It's like 69 is like a low at like, you know, 2 a.m. But it's still like 83 inside.
Yeah.
You know? Oh. Yeah, that summer's not great. But so whatever. You do outdoor stuff.
The winters are bad. Summers are bad.
Yeah.
We got about 2 weeks out of the year.
No, it's better than that.
It's raining now. It's raining in
June. Even all day today was great. I moved in today.
Do you have a nice place?
Yeah, it's not bad. In the East Village, the location's great. It's overpriced. But I just gave up. I almost found one place that was awesome, a little better than this place, for like $500 less.
Yeah?
But I had a collection out against me for $73. And I knew what it was, ticket? Too. I was, no, it was fucking some medical bill because I had surgery on my knee and I kept going like, am I done with bills? Every time I come in here, you guys say you still have more bills and I get letters. I just want to pay everything. Let me pay everything. I did that twice and then I still got a bill and I'm like, I'm not paying this. I'm just going to ignore it. And I did not win on that. I ended up paying $130 and I lost an apartment. Yeah, and I had Renazzisi being a guarantor too. And he makes fucking TV money.
Who?
Steve Renazzisi.
Oh, yeah, yeah, Steve Renazzisi.
So it's like, I have rich, rich friends.
Sure.
I'm like, it was $73, they have a policy. It's a hard city. People are hard here.
So you're a funny thing because you were like always funny. And then you got really, really good at comedy. And now you make a great living, right?
Yeah, well, the good thing is they made me get used to being poor by not giving me anything.
Right.
So now it's like, I need a very little amount of money to be like, I'm fine. And it's like, where are you from? Chicago?
Boston.
Boston.
Where are you from?
Maryland.
Yeah.
North Carolina a little bit. But like when Frank Thomas was...
Are there any Jews in North Carolina?
Yeah, a few.
Okay.
It was growing in the big cities. But when Frank Thomas was renegotiating with the White Sox... when he was like just coming off an MVP year and another one like 2 years before, and they're like, where do you want to sign? He goes, honestly, I'll take less money to stay in Chicago. And his agents were like, shut the fuck up. But it's like he had his home there and he had like, there's no difference between $12 million and $16 million
right.
a year. Really, there's no real functional difference.
With taxes and...
Yeah. So what, you get eight or you get fucking seven after taxes? It doesn't really matter.
Right. That's a great story.
But like, yeah, I don't need that much.
No, you don't. It's just you. So you're like amazed that you can go out to dinner.
Yeah, I just go.
Right.
Yeah. And also I was so this used to like not even being able to afford dinner that it's like if I have to just get a Subway 6-inch and just live off that, that's fine. I can do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw you a couple years ago at the West Side and you were just
eclectic.
Great. It was like a bad, bad, bad night. There was no one there, but you were killing.
Oh.
And you were good. Talking about your friends who have kids.
Mm-hmm.
And you had a great take on it, basically like shitting on it. Because I have kids, so I really appreciate
it. How many kids you got?
2, 8 and 5, boy and girl. And yeah, so I really...
But like, you don't get to come to New York or just do some shit for a while, usually. You're promoting it now, right?
Yeah, it's awful. I'm so locked up, Ari.
I talked to Segura about it, and he was like, oh, I wish I could go to New York for like a year or two. And I was like, well, you don't have any kids, man. Go. I was like, ah, I'm married. I'm like, well, then go together.
Yeah.
Or break up a little. Just break up for 9 months and then fucking do your own thing and do the thing you want to do.
No, I wish I could do that. I wish I was brave to do that. I've had such a good time when I was here. I've been going everywhere, doing whatever I want. Tacos out last night.
How's the tacos here?
I just stumbled upon a place on Elizabeth Street today. I had to go do a podcast and I just walked in. I was starving because I've been that busy. I couldn't
There's
eat
so much good food.
I don't even know where I ate. It was amazing.
There's so much good food. Will you pass by? I'm like, oh, I'll go to that later. I'm like, just go right now. Just go right now. I'll be eating in 4 minutes. And it'll be delicious, and this place will be closed in 6 months, probably.
Right.
But another awesome place will open up, and it's put in its stead.
How do you stay so thin on the road?
I try not to eat complete garbage.
So what do you do?
Because that's my thing. If I find like a salad or a Whole Foods, I'll get like Whole Foods stuff. I have a fridge in the hotel once in a while. So you know, like a fridge.
You only go to like fancy cities then?
No, that's not true. I usually will not find a Whole Foods.
Okay.
But like Philadelphia and Denver, there's like it's like a 30-minute walk. If it's not awful out, you can do it.
Sure.
And get enough shit for like to snack on for the next. Also, I have better metabolism than most people.
You do?
Yeah.
You work out or you just...
No.
Nah.
No. I walk around a lot here. A lot here I walk around. But no, I don't do shit. What do?
I fucking work out like a fiend.
You do?
Yeah.
Oh. It's probably better for you.
I mean, that said, I haven't worked out in 3 days. But I mean, when I'm home, I'm. What are you laughing at?
I haven't worked out in 3 days. That's still so recent.
Yeah. So yeah, I try to go every day. You know, when you're in LA, you get in that groove. Hey, Jim.
It's got to be Jim, right?
Here, let me let him in.
Yeah. Pause it. Oyster bars. That'll be good. All right. I don't know where we left off, but we came back.
I wanted to hear about your food on the road.
Oh, yeah. No, I usually don't eat healthy, but like I just try to eat limited.
Well, I'm always amazed when comics go like...
I eat a lot of candy, though. What?
You do like candy?
A lot.
Sugar?
Yeah.
What kind of candy?
What gummy stuff is my fave, but like... Swedish
gummy bears? Fish.
Gummy bears, sure.
Gummy worms?
Yeah, totally.
Gummy worms with the sugar on top of them? Or just
the sour gummy worms, you mean?
Sour, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, sure, sometimes.
Oh, my kids love those.
The gummy snakes in Australia.
Like this?
No, they're not that long.
I've seen them.
Really? Oh, the super long ones? Yeah. Those novelty gummies. People are like, I got this 7-pound gummy. It's like, what? I can get through the ear. Then it's going to get all sticky before I get nauseous. No, not novelty. Good quality.
I do no sugar.
No sugar? Yeah, Jarek Rohde went to that for a while, and I was so intrigued by it. It seemed so right.
It's just for me.
For everybody.
If I don't, I just go off the deep end.
Refined sugars?
Yeah.
You'll eat an apple and shit, right? Yeah. Yeah, you go off the deep end. I try sometimes. Like, let me pull it back. Just do fruits and nuts.
But like,
that lasts for three days.
Comics tell me, they're like, well, it's just chicken fingers and mozzarella sticks. Because I'm always have this fascination with the road. I'm like, I'm always, because I've never done it. And
you don't go on the road?
No. And I go.
You've never done it?
No. And I want to, but I just...
Like, not even weekends here or there? Yeah. You must have. Never?
Never.
Never. Never open for the Sklars or anything?
Nope. Psh. But then I'm like, oh yeah, you could just go to Whole Foods.
Oh yeah. They have regular places. The only time I eat super unhealthy is when I go to a place like that is known for some unhealthy food.
Right.
You know?
A cheeseburger, famous Philly steak.
Yeah, Philly cheesesteak. I'll get one of those while I'm here.
Where's the worst place you go for comedy?
I mean, like the city?
Well, a lot of places, the city or the club combo.
Kansas City, the fucking, whatever the place was, Stanford's in Kansas City. I just won't go back. I just won't go back to places.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You're done.
I got pretty lucky. I've never had to do comedy for money.
Yeah.
Like, I'll take the money that comes with it, but like, I don't know. I always do commercials or some other stuff. And right. So I just never like, so I'll just work out in town other than go to your shitty room, you know, and take the shitty three flights to get there and the awful. It's not a good stage and fuck it. What am I doing?
What was wrong with Kansas City?
They have this stage that walks out into the crowd like a runway.
Yeah.
It's a horrible city.
Is it?
I mean, yeah. I might go there for like a theater once if I can get like someone to go with me. But like, yeah, there's nothing really there. Some barbecue. The Rock also.
The stage goes out into the crowd?
Yeah, way out. So the people are way behind you if you walk out. And if you don't walk out, then you're way away from other people.
So it's almost like in the round, like a fashion show? Sort of.
Yeah, they have a regular stage and then just a long runway where people are like here, and here. It's just strange. And there's no reason for it. And the owners are all, they weren't there the week I was there, but they're all big Coke heads. They love Coke.
Yeah.
They like love it. So it's like when there's a club owner that's too into Coke, I can't hang.
How do you know that they're into Coke?
You know what people are into Coke. You ever got into it?
Sure.
Yeah, you know how people are.
They're like, hey, what's up, Ari? Yeah. Hey, man.
What are we going to do later?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Watch some TV. Yeah. Is that a possible option?
Where am I going? Where am I meeting you?
Text you.
Okay, text me.
That door we leave is the mosquitoes.
Oh, yeah. I'll shut it now.
You bring Bud Lights with you for the road? I like that.
Yeah, I don't want to drink one in front of you guys while you're recording. You think.
Oh, yeah, that would ruin the podcast if you drank a Bud Light in front of us. Nice to meet you too. Right. Bye, guys.
Kind of getting mugged getting out of here.
Yeah. People will walk away from me. I love safe neighborhoods.
He's like my funniest friend that's not a comedian.
Really?
I'm pretty sure he's funnier than me. And I'm pretty sure he's funnier than a lot of comedians.
He does seem super outgoing and fun.
This motherfucker is a legend.
And he was never a comic?
No. In high school?
Yeah.
In high school, he was the most popular kid in high school. Legendary. And I was such a loser.
Oh.
And I didn't become friends with him until like well after.
Really?
Yeah, because he partied so much, he kind of like fucked up his 20s.
Oh, right. And you had to pull out.
What's like, that?
I can't hang with this man.
No, I was never friends with him.
Right.
And then like maybe like 5 years ago, he called me and he was like, he was working at, like Marshalls, like not in the store, but like as a buyer or something.
Yeah.
He's like, I want to get in the TV business.
5 years ago?
Yeah.
And he's already got this on it?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, but that's the kind of personality. You know the people
is there a
like.
Baby sleeping in there?
No.
Oh, okay.
No,
they close the door so quietly. Yeah.
Yeah. But that's the kind of guy he is. He's just like, you know those. He's very alpha.
You ever feel bad for the people that were super funny and just never tried comedy? Like, almost like, even though they had no desire to, but I just feel like, oh, your life is unfulfilled.
No, I have another friend like that who he just didn't want to do it. He doesn't care. He does not care. He does not want to go in and make a crowd laugh. Does not like the crowd.
Just doesn't interest him at all.
Nope. Doesn't care. The other funny thing about my friend is so funny. He is a wild man. Like, parties like so crazy. Like, gets thrown out of bars and, you know, but also makes people adhere to like rules in society. and is a real stickler about it. Like, I put a ramekin in a way, and it had like a little like piece of food on it.
Yeah,
she's like, Jay, I don't get it. I don't know who does that. I don't know who puts a ramekin.
What's a ramekin?
A ramekin is like a little cup that is like it has like usually it has like grooves around it. It's just like a little cup.
Okay.
It's hard to explain. It's usually for like a sauce. You put like ketchup in it or something.
Oh yeah.
Or he's like
ramekin.
He's like, I don't know who puts glasses away face up, face down. You know.
Why face down? So it doesn't.
So it could dry.
Oh right.
Or he. I guess he was on the train from.
But then the water gets caught in the turnover section.
Maybe he's got his rules. He was on the train yesterday. Or he's coming down on Saturday. He told me the story. He's like, this guy's on the train. Talked the whole time in the car. Drive me nuts.
To the friends?
Random guy that was talking loud on the cell phone. And then he got in the elevator and just had a confrontation with him. And
did he really?
Yeah.
Oh, I love those guys. I'm not going to take this. I'm in charge of justice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's him.
That's Fitzsimmons, too.
Is that what Fitzsimmons does?
Yeah, except he talks with a punch. We'll just punch the guy.
Fitzsimmons will?
Yeah.
Fitzsimmons?
We'll just shove him into a wall and say, what? The guy be like, what? I don't even know what I did to you.
Fitzsimmons makes too much eye contact.
Oh, really?
I think so.
He's looking to see who's, like, looking down on him, maybe.
Maybe.
Too much eye contact with, like, people he knows.
Every time I talk to him, I'm like...
Uncomfortable?
Like, I know you, Greg. I know you for 20 years. I think you're great. And he's just like, yeah.
Oh, you're Boston. That's right.
Yeah. And so I have another story about that, which I thought you were going to say.
What?
My friend, he's a really big dude in L.A. He's a trainer, and he's also an actor. His friend was doing a movie with Matthew McConaughey. He was like directing this movie. It's called The Lincoln Lawyer. And so he's like, hey man, come down to Chateau tonight. You can meet Matthew.
Yeah.
Because my friend had like one line in the movie. He's like, it'll be really good to meet Matthew because you're going to be doing a scene with him. My friend was like, great. And my friend's ripped. Like, he's huge, ripped dude. That's what he does professionally. And he gets there and he's like, Matthew, this is Sam. Sam, this is Matthew. And he said, Matthew McConaughey, like, looked at him and, like, totally, like, aggro-sized him up.
Really?
Yeah. And then he shook his hand, and he was like, Sam, how you doing, Sam? And he did this thing where he would not break the handshake. He was waiting to see. He was, like, vetting Sam to see, like, what kind of man he was. And so Sam said they sat there for, like, 2 minutes shaking hands.
How does that show what kind of man you are?
Just going like, how you doing? I'm doing real good. Oh, great. I'm doing good too.
These ideas, this fucking non-researched ideas on how to figure out how a man is.
I mean, that's how Sam explained it. I mean, I don't...
You ever watch The Shield?
Yeah, my wife did that show.
She did it?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
She produced it.
Your wife produced the show?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a good show. What were you going to say about it?
Well, when Forrest Whitaker was there and he always offered gum to people... And they're like, no, it's okay. He's like, sure, you want some gum? And then they said later, it's like, whoever like says, yeah, fine, I'll take some gum. He's like, you know, you can break them in an interrogation. And then Vic Mackey was like, want some gum? He's like, nah, you sure? Gum's delicious, so fruity. He goes, no, man, I don't want it. All right, sure, one more. It's really good. He goes, no, I have no desire for that gum. And he's like, fuck, I'm never going to break Mackey.
Can I tell you something? I think what? I watched that and never got that.
Really?
Yeah.
It was one of my favorite
parts. Why is he always chewing gum? Why is he so into gum?
Fucking Forrest Whitaker got owned by him.
Yeah.
That was a good show.
Yeah. Good ending.
Your wife produced it? Who's your wife?
Her name's Marnie.
Oh.
Her boss is the writer.
When did you get married?
I don't know. A long time ago. So long ago, Ari. I don't know what I did with my life.
How old were you?
30.
You were 30?
Yeah.
That's not so young.
It's not. My wife is older, so it's like, I should probably get married. Like, I didn't really want to get married.
Yeah.
But my wife was so great. Like, she was such a quality person and is so funny and so wonderful to be with that I thought,
this is the one, I guess, if I got to go.
Yeah,
with
like,
one.
I can't really pass this up. It's like, if you had a ship, you know, or if you had something come along that you were like, this is pretty great, and I don't want to go do this, but. You
it's not
going to
be here for a while.
What?
It's like an exhibit at the Smithsonian. Like, I better go. I don't want it right now. I'd rather just watch TV, but it's going to be gone next week. And exactly. Right? Is it like that?
Exactly.
So now, how is that different than this fucking story they feed you about when you know, you know, it's just going to be the one forever? Compare those two stories.
It's so different, and it is such a line of shit. And the reason why people are unhappy is because of that story.
Because they've been fed that?
It's because they've been fed that, and they expect that the person that they're... People shouldn't marry who they're in love with for 2 months.
Right.
You need to marry the person that's like going to be around and that you really like to be with, and the person that you like want to have sex with, like that all goes away. And I chose someone that
does go away. That's a normal thing.
Yeah, like everybody. And so like I chose somebody that was a smart investment. You know what I mean? That was like someone that was going to always be around. It may not be, you know, I don't think we were ever like, oh my God, I have to have you in my life.
Yeah.
We just were never like that. We were just like, oh my God, this is the best person in the world. This person's like, she's like hanging out with a comic. Like she's like,
really?
you know, when you hang out with a comic and it's like
relaxing, there's no pressure. I'm saying, it's not relaxing cause they're always uptight, but I mean like, it's just, you don't have to work at it.
Yeah. Yeah. There's just like a repartee, like bap, 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 bap. You know, she's really funny. And so I just could not let that go, even though at times I'm like, oh, I just want to be left alone.
Yeah. I hate the term man cave, but I'm starting to see the importance of it, of having a place where you can go. And if there's a woman cave too, that'd be great.
Sure.
Which is a place where you can like go be separated from them. Just have your own time.
Man cave would be nice. Bert has a man cave.
Bert has one, yeah.
There's nothing wrong with it.
It's like, don't bother me, I'm out here.
What are you going to do in your apartment, though? You can't have a man cave there.
Oh, I don't need one. My whole apartment's a man cave.
Oh, right.
I'm saying like a place away. I really hate that term. It's so fucking stupid. It's been so taken by like Bud Light, you know?
Yeah.
It's been just robbed of any sort of soul it has, man cave.
Yeah, and they made a TV show about it, and they gave Bert a free one.
Oh, yeah. They made a TV show about man caves?
That's the show.
Oh, I thought it was just fix up your house in some
no,
way.
No, making people man caves.
Oh,
now wow. You hate it even more.
Yeah. Because it's so corporate.
What's your take on marriage and kids? When you see them, are you like, oh God?
I mean, same thing. I think it's a bad investment. It's like when you look at how many of them go wrong,
right?
Which is over half of them.
Yeah.
And that's not including the ones that you just live in misery with them until one of you dies. That's a successful marriage.
Yeah.
So we're counting that in the successful ones.
Yeah.
It's just like, why would I enter into this bad bet? It'd be okay if you're like, hey, let's get married for 6 years. And then we'll revisit later, or maybe have to take a 1 year sabbatical no matter what, like the Mormons do. And then if we want to come back, we can come back. But like, otherwise, it's like, it's just on this idea that like our love is different than everyone else's love. And no, it's not. You're not 14. It's not.
Yeah.
I saw Rogan talking to Goldie, the other announcer at the UFC.
Yeah.
And Rogan had his first kid. He's like, you don't understand, Mike. Mike Goldberg, he was like, it's just like, it's all I think about. It's all I want to protect them. And just, and Goldie was like, yeah, I know, man. I got 4 kids.
Yeah.
And he goes, no, you don't get it though, dude. It's like, it's all I can think about. And Goldie kept going like, yeah, man, I do get it. I've been through what you're going through and 3 other ones. Like, you don't get that you're not special. This feeling is not special or unique. That's my take on it.
Yeah, everybody thinks, yeah, what they have is special. And I don't think that way. I think I'm very pragmatic about it. And
are you? So let me hear about it then. Let me hear your pragmatic views on marriage.
Well, it's like, there's a certain amount of like...
Is it more of a business relationship? Not in terms of like show business, but like...
A little, no. But
I take care of this, you take care of this.
Yeah, it's like, it's a divide and conquer. It's a like, you're not both going to be happy at the same time.
Right.
You're going to, you know, you're going to go to Crate and Barrel and... That's her time, and you're going to suffer through it.
Uh-huh.
And you're not going to go to the restaurant you want all the time. And in my relationship, there's just a lot of things that, like, my wife wants done a certain way. Like, I was looking at a house to get in Laguna. I found this, like, crappy house.
Uh-huh.
I was like, let's just go get it. Let's just get it for a month. We'll just come down on the weekends.
Yeah.
You know, we'll have beers, and the kids can run around. It's a crappy house. It was a one-bedroom. Kids will sleep on the pullout. Who cares?
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly. Who does care?
Did a lot of research. I went down to Laguna. I looked at it. And then she just swooped in, just changed it all.
Nah.
Found a much more expensive place that you can have for a week and not for a month. And, you know, she just changes the game a lot. And I'm not mad.
But ideally, you wouldn't want that. You'd want to have the game your way.
Yeah, I'm like a hippie person. Like, I wanted to get married on the beach. She needed to do it at a big hotel.
Is some of this because she is the breadwinner, or is she?
A lot of it was like that for a long time, and then we went to therapy, and the therapist was like, "Look, just because she makes more money than you doesn't mean she gets to say shit."
Right.
You know, and I was like, "Oh yeah, you're right. I'm fucking equal here." So then I started.
Are you equal? Because I always thought the man was in charge.
Well,
throughout the 60s, 70s, 80s.
I'm not.
No, the man was in charge because he used to bring home the money.
Yeah.
He was like, well, I get final say because it's my money, so we'll get this house.
Yeah, but now it's not like that.
It's not. People are way more equal.
The men that bring home all the money, the wives, they run the house.
Yeah.
And they decide where you go. At least where I live in L.A. I mean, maybe in the middle of the country.
No, it's probably like that.
Women are pushed down. But all the women I know and all the women decide, because the men are so complacent and so dead. I mean, that's a big thing that I deal with. Like, when I get so alive when I come around, like, someone like you, who's, I think we're around the same age, and you're like just doing it. Whereas I'm going to go back this weekend. Everyone's going to sit on the cul-de-sac. Everyone's going to drink wine. And people are just so dead. They have nothing to say. And you're just like, and everyone's like,
do they have nothing to say? You just don't connect with them.
Like, people talk about like Coachella from 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you know, guys, Coachella's happening this weekend, actually.
Right.
We could not have talk about it. We could do it.
Yeah.
And they don't want to. They're just like, I have this friend who lives across the street from me. He's a cool guy. He's like, TV writer, a good writer. And I'm like, hey, man, let's go out. Let's go do something. Nah. I had a big 40th birthday party in Vegas.
Yeah.
I'm like, why are you not coming? Like, what? I don't know. I don't like Vegas. I'm over that. You're overdoing everything.
You know, a lot of people do that, and I worry about it, where it's like you get set in your ways. Once you've seen a thing like 7-8 times, let's say you have Coca-Cola 5 times, and you just don't like it 5 times.
Right.
At some point, you're like, no, I don't like that.
Right.
And people are like, you want a Coke? I'm like, nah, because you just know yourself. That's an easy one.
Yeah.
But other things are about experiences, and people just end up going, nah, and you're like, I'm not sure this experience is exactly the same, like a can of Coke is to the last can of Coke. You're like, you should try things.
Yeah, and he does. He's arrogant. He says that, I've seen it all. That's what he says. And I'm like, oh, don't be so arrogant. Like, you haven't. Then go into the garage, get a revolver.
Yeah, finish it. What are you living for? It seems like a lot of people, their goal in life, men and women, is to get, let's just say men, is to get the wife and the picket fence in the house. And since that's their goal, once they get it, they're like, cool, I'm done. Yeah. And a couple kids, you know.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, wait, but I still got 40 years left. I finished way too early. At least, like, if it's SATs, you can leave. You don't have to sit there waiting for everyone else to finish, too. If you finish fast, you know. You're like, cool, get out of here, go play. There's no playing once you finish.
No, it's awful. And the people say to me, I complain about my kids at work, and people be like, well, no one told you to have them.
How do you feel about that?
I'm like, no, everybody told me to have it.
Yeah, exactly. Everybody did tell
you
to have
it. Everybody told me to have it. Everybody told me this was the only way I would be happy.
Yeah, people are saying, like, well, I kind of revolt against that in my stand-up and otherwise. And people are like, well, what's this pressure you're imagining? I'm like, it's there, you guys. It's constant, like, you have to have kids in media and everywhere. It's constant, like, you need to do this to be a fulfilled person.
Yeah, and not even your media, your Jewish family.
Oh, yeah, sure.
It's all that matters is the children in the end. You know, it's...
Family's all that matters. Like,
though, I have so many Jewish relatives. Like, hey, isn't the matzah ball soup great? What's great is being here, being alive, and looking at Sasha. You know, it's like...
You don't have any friends.
No. It's all about family. Build up a wall and talk to these 6 people.
Yeah. Yeah, build up a wall and just... That's what people hated about the Jews in the first place.
Yeah.
They were so separatist.
Yo, Ari, what is up? I'm sure you've been asked this before, and forgive me. What is up with the Jew Orthodox in L.A.?
With what?
Why are the Orthodox in L.A. so, like... Why are Orthodox people...
So standoffish?
Yeah, or yeah. Just, like,
it's not,
so...
It's not in L.A., it's here, too.
So into their own thing, like, yeah. Not friendly.
It's like you can't add anything to their life.
Yes, yes, that's it.
That's how they treat you, like... All the stuff I want, you will not be helping me with this. Yeah. It's like if you're late for the subway and you got to run down there and someone's like, excuse me, can I interest you? And you're like, no, you can't. I know what I need. And whatever you're going to offer is not in what I need.
Yeah. That's how they are all the time.
That's how they are with everybody and everything.
And it a little bit speaks to my relatives a little bit like that.
Yeah. Sure.
It's only us. It's only us in the end.
You know what the word shiksa comes from?
Where?
You heard that word?
Yeah.
Non-Jewish woman. My rabbi told me not to use that word.
Yeah.
In Israel. Because he was like, shiksa comes from the root word shekes, which is like a maggot or other worm or other disgusting, like crawly creature.
Oh, that's terrible.
Like the lowest of the low. Maggot's a great term. But
terrible.
He was like, you don't call other humans maggots because they're not born with fucking the right size nose. He goes, no, they're still wonderful creatures that God created. Really rich, fulfilled creature. And it's like, you don't...
My grandmother just used to curse every Don Jew out because she married an Italian.
Yeah.
She would just sit there, a fire's on top them. A fire should set atop their head.
Yeah.
I'm like, what does that mean? I thought that was the greatest expression.
A fire atop their head.
A fire should set atop your head.
That's nice.
Can you imagine if you could do that?
Yeah. Yeah, like that kid in, who took that girl's mouth away. And what movie was that? It was a TV show first.
But I do like having kids in terms of...
Yeah, what do you like about it?
Material. And this sounds really shallow. All I right. love having them. My kids are so perfect, Ari. If you saw them, you'd be like... They wake up and there's like a bell, like ding, like they're just so happy and their skin is perfect and their faces and their hair, you know, like sweet, great kids. And, you know, I want to do stand up and I want to write and I want to like go to the beach for 8 hours and wait 2 hours before I write. Yeah. And I can't. And though, but I love the material that you get from it. And I love...
But you come to it from a place of like, really, maybe angry. Angry about that life. It was always like, fuck this. Fuck marriage.
Yeah.
While you're married. Instead of like...
Yeah.
Instead of the normal like, I guess I don't get laid anymore, but it's still tongue in cheek. Like, but hey guys, we love it though.
I love Ray Romano, but when he's begging for sex on stage or begging for sex in that show, I'm like, oh God.
Do you get like that?
It depresses me. No.
Not on stage.
On stage?
Off stage.
Off stage, like, I'll say it's fucking awful.
No, no, to hurt. Are you begging for sex ever? Are you like...
Right, I have to a lot. And then that doesn't work. Right. What woman doesn't get turned on by that?
Please.
You know? But I love moving on. And like, if I didn't have kids, I would feel that I didn't experience everything I could have in life. And I was worried that
right.
I would regret it or something. And looking back now,
looking back,
like,
yeah, what?
I would have been fine.
Not Let me tell you kid. My comparison. Tell me how you feel about it.
Yeah.
If I get to my end of my life, you know, 87, where it's like, you're pretty much done. You're just going to play golf and back, or not even. You're just, you know, walking to the corner store and come back every day.
Yeah.
That level of old. Like, you're done.
Yeah.
And I don't have kids. I will look at it kind of like that trip to Africa I never took. We're like, should have done that. Oh well.
You're absolutely right.
How far off is it?
You've rocked my world in such a way. It's really, if you made a highlight reel of the septic tank, you should put that on there. Lock the gate. But you know, you're so right. I could have not done it too. Now, you know, now that you know them, they're wonderful, blah blah blah.
Yeah.
But the world we live in, and especially because
the world we live in, yeah.
And especially, is that making too much noise?
No, I was trying to open it so I get more air.
Let's just open the door.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But the world we live in, and the fact that you have your jokes are like kids, and...
Your jokes are like kids.
But...
I dated an artist, and she said that. She goes, a lot of artists don't have children because she thinks a lot of it boils down to wanting to leave something behind, and artists do.
Artists don't have kids because they want to leave something behind?
No. Oh. The only reason to have kids is a basic reason to have kids is to be able to leave something that goes on after you. But artists already have that. They've
yes.
left something.
That's right.
Getty doesn't need kids for people to remember him in 100 years.
No. You're so right. And when people are putting all that time in their kids, driving their kids to soccer in San Bernardino, and staying over in a Holiday Inn because the game starts at 6:30. Yeah. You know, you stay over Friday night. I'm...
So what would you do?
I got my jokes and I got my scripts, and I'm like, it's burning. It, Ari, I'm not saying I'm great, but it's burning inside me.
What is?
Material.
Oh, right.
To get it out. And, you know, I'm not saying I'm amazing, a writer or actor or stand-up, but it is, I'm mad by it. Like, that's all I want to do, is create.
Create material.
That's
yeah.
It. All I want to do. And to the point where when I have to go to social functions, I'm like looking at my watch.
Oh, right.
I will snake off at the party with all the kids and stuff and like write on my phone, and people get mad at me. Where have you been? Not just my wife. My wife, no.
But that's the job. It's an all year round, all day long. If anything comes to me, I've got to separate myself for 2 minutes and
yeah,
write this down.
That's right.
I've got to. That's how I work. But you don't work 8 hours. You know, it's just like all through the day.
Yeah.
But you don't have a fuck, got to wake up at 9 a.m. or not 8 a.m., whatever time people wake up to get to work. You don't get home till 6. It's none of that, but it's just all day wrong.
I get so much judgment from my wife's friends.
Really?
Oh. You're on your phone.
Yeah, but all day you were with the kids.
Yeah.
You were cleaning up, doing fucking normal shit.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm not with the kids all day, but...
Whatever.
But I just... It's just these two different lifestyles that I'm in, and it's clashing.
Do you
like? They're like, isn't this enough for you? That's what they're saying to me.
Right?
Isn't this enough?
Right.
These kids, these beautiful kids. Why do you want to leave? Oh, we're all getting together tonight on the cul-de-sac.
That's what you do a lot.
With the neighborhood. I was gonna like go
drink wine out there.
Yeah.
Sounds nice. Here or there.
Here or there.
Yeah.
I was gonna go watch Ari do a set. Why?
Why we're all here.
Yeah, we're all here.
People get mad at me sometimes. I feel it anyway that it's like when I have to go do a set.
Yeah.
It's like, I'll try to come back like in an hour.
And you don't.
Well, it's like, you know, getting there, you go on, and then you talk for 10 minutes, and it's like, are you guys still there? Is it still happening?
Yeah.
Yeah, it really interrupts your social night.
Yeah, scholars used to do that all the time. We'd be hanging out with them. It's like, gotta go to the Comedy Store.
Yeah.
I get it. I mean, are you at the point in your life, too, where you go to bed at like 11 o'clock? Or?
No.
Oh, no, you stay up late.
I go to bed when I get tired. So if I have spots, I'll stay up. I'll never miss spots.
Never?
No.
I love that.
Almost never. I mean, it'd have to be real. Like at this point now where I'm not developing as much in my, I develop material, but I'm not developing as much. You've felt that too, right? Like your arc of like learning comedy is kind of like, you learn less now.
No, I'm so far behind you. I'm still learning, but
I'm still learning too. But it's just like,
no, I,
it's
but
not
I get what you're
day,
saying.
Like,
no.
Wow,
I saw you.
New situation.
I saw Kai last night.
Yeah,
he was so freaking good, and I could see that every joke was like,
yeah.
I just know he must have.
Who was it?
His name was Sam Morrill.
Oh yeah, I love Sam Morrill.
He's good.
Yeah,
and I was like, you just know he worked at that. And
he works. Yeah, he sure does.
He works at it. Because before he went on, he was like, I was at Laugh Boston. Then I was here. I was there. Not in a braggy way. We were just talking, and he was telling me all about it. And I have this disconnect where I'm like, I had to choose between making a movie or doing stand-up the last couple of years.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What was this movie?
It's just a movie I made. It's called Jason Nash is Married. And it comes
Jason
out,
Nash is Married.
Comes
how
out this
how
month.
Are you releasing it?
Comedy Central digitally.
Okay.
And on the network.
I've worked with them. With Abrams and
Don't
stuff.
Don't you have a show with them right now?
Mm-hmm.
How's that? What's the show about?
It's great. It's just a storyteller stand-up show.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
So you tell stories.
Yeah.
Like
we've been
really
doing it for a while in L.A.
Really good stand-ups telling stories.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know how we're more degenerates, so we have a better way of telling a story than someone else who's on the plane with you when the story happened. You know, some accountant wouldn't tell the story as well.
Yeah.
You know?
Is it told from the stage?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, we started at the Improv Lab. We did all psychedelic drug stories.
You did?
Yeah, me and Eric started it, actually.
Abrams?
Four and a half years ago. February was 4 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you do like Rogan?
It was 15 people. The first one was Steve Agee, Diaz, Marin, this guy Dan Madonia, and fuck, I forgot his last name, the other guy. Brody. Not Brody Stevens. Dylan Brody.
Dylan Brody. I know Dylan Brody. I've seen Dylan Brody.
It's great. Belladonna was there in the audience.
Belladonna.
Porn star.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Christina was just telling me about Belladonna.
She was great. But AG knew her. He invited her. It was such a great fucking show. And me and Eric were just talking one day about, like, I don't know, just mushrooms and stuff. Like, can we have a mushroom show in the lab?
Yeah.
Because he was booking the lab for a while.
Yeah.
And I was like, I know I can't get any shows, but the lab, it's 40 seats, man. Can I just have it one night for one show? Let's have a bunch of... And he was like, let's do psychedelic drugs. I was like, okay.
It's awesome.
Yeah, we had such a good time. We were like,
So each show
has
a
theme. Hey, let's do more of these.
Each show has a theme, mm-hmm. Or, yeah.
Psychedelics, fights, heartbreak, you know, parenthood, hookers, all sorts of things. I don't know, revenge.
It's great. I got to watch that. Is it on?
It's on the web.
Yeah, I can watch it now?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, good.
Yeah. I mean, let's keep doing the podcast, but...
No, we could stop.
Sure, later. Come on. Yeah, but Eric's great to work. So what's it called? Jason Nash is Married?
Yeah.
And how are they releasing it?
You could just get it on iTunes. You can pre-order it now, and it comes out at the end of the month.
What day does it come out?
June 24th.
June 24th.
When are you releasing?
I release every Monday. One of these come out Tuesdays? When does your thing come out?
It comes out on a Tuesday.
You want me to do it the Monday before?
23rd would be amazing.
23rd? Okay. Amazing. I'll mark that down.
Or you could do it before, because you can pre-order it. Whatever.
It'd be good because people will listen to this on Monday and Tuesday. Sometimes when it's released on Tuesdays, I'll release them like late Monday.
Yeah.
Like in the afternoon, so people don't listen to it till Tuesday, till it's out.
Yeah. You like doing a podcast?
It's a lot of work.
I did one for a long time.
The first person to do a podcast. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was.
When did you do your podcast? You left before it caught on.
Yeah.
That was the problem. When did you start yours?
2006.
Way before Corolla or any of those guys.
Yeah, it was before Corolla.
How long did you do it for?
Off and on for like 6 years.
Wow. Wait, when was it? June 23rd?
Yeah, I just hated it. It wasn't what I wanted to do.
Oh, yeah.
But for comics, it's really good because people can stay with you before in the time you come back to their town.
Oh, definite connect.
Right?
Direct connection to the people listening.
Awesome.
Hi, everybody. How are you? And then also the fun conversations with friends, but organizing it, even like going back and forth, like when are we going to do it? How are we going to do it? You were like wanted to do it, which is fine. Sometimes I feel like I'm bothering people.
Yeah.
So it's like, all right. That's why I'm always willing to go to their place if I can.
That's nice.
Yeah.
But that's a schlep.
Yeah, but it's like, I don't care. I'll think of some questions on the way.
And then like, I remember I would try to like get really big people and then I would get them there.
Yeah.
And then the mics wouldn't work.
Oh.
I didn't have this set up. I have this
Zoom
set up.
Changes everything.
This is great because you can't mess this up, really.
Yeah. Maren showed me this.
He did.
He like, walked me through it, showed me everything I had to where to buy. He looked for sales online. Fucking Maren. Once in a while, he really steps up. He's a real nice guy.
You know, he's always been nice to me.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
I think he feels like he has a hatred for everyone. So then whenever he is nice, because he assumes everyone would have it for him. So when he does something nice for you, he goes, are we good?
Yeah,
means like, do you not hate me? It's like, yeah, man, we were good before.
Yeah.
You didn't have to do this for us to be good.
Yeah, he's got a lot going on. I think so. I do that too, where I have like a lot of bad thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll see people and like, oh, they know I'm bad.
Yeah. Yeah. Because
but they don't know at all.
No.
I haven't
it's
done anything to them.
It's a way of thinking. Like they must think the same way.
Yeah.
You ever cheat?
Me?
Yeah.
No.
Never?
No.
You ever get close?
Sure.
What stops you?
I can't. I'm not supposed to.
Yeah. But that doesn't stop other people. Not supposed to doesn't stop you from masturbating.
I masturbate a lot.
When you're little. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Now you're allowed to masturbate. But when you're 14, it's like you're not supposed to.
Well, they let people masturbate.
No, they always say it's bad and evil.
No. You can now it's different now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you're supposed to like talk to your kids about porn, like shut the door and let them masturbate.
What?
Yeah. It's different now.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's so much more helpful.
Now it's like,
so you don't have to feel awful about it?
No. Now it's like your kids are going to masturbate, so you better tell them everything they need to know because they're going to do it anyway.
Wow.
I think that's the general thinking. My kids
that's
aren't
the way
teenagers
it should be
yet.
Before they learn how to get weird about it. You know, Down syndrome kids, you know, when they're all in homes together, they jerk off all the time. They fuck constantly. Because in public, they just take their pants down and start jerking. Because they don't understand the social construct of like, this isn't acceptable. So they're like, this feels good. If I had a mosquito bite, I would scratch that. Why would I not do? I don't understand. They just don't get it. So why not teach kids the right way? Like, yeah, there's a time and a place for this. It feels great, but
there's
you can't
a lot
do it in front of people at the table. It's all got weird.
There's a lot of that now where things are, everything's forward thinking and almost too much so where...
Like the transgender stuff?
Yeah, it's like, let's put a girl on the boys' basketball team even though she doesn't want to play.
Oh.
You know, there's a lot of that too.
Mm-hmm.
And I often feel old. I just turned around and I'm like, oh, I'm the old white guy.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's so much of that now on the internet. Like, fucking white males have had it good for too long.
Culture. Yeah, I know. Like, what do you want me to do? You want me to give it back? You want me to give it back to you guys? I can't. I can't give it back. So guess what? If white women or black women were in power, you'd be cunts too. Just like we are. It's Game of Thrones shit, man. Everyone in power takes advantage. That's just how it works. I'm sorry. We got born into it. What do you want us to do? I'm not going to rape anyone.
Okay, that was Ari with his...
When you look back at 30, when you're dating this girl, Marnie?
Yeah?
How long have you been dating her before you got married?
Not long, a couple years.
Okay. Let's say a year in.
Yeah.
If you go back to yourself,
yeah,
what would you impart on yourself? Like, do this, don't do this, why, what to be careful for? No, and because you don't have, there's, okay, hold on, let me get back to that question. There's a couple studies I've seen about people with children and families. Okay. And one of the studies is that people will lie about the reasons they have their children.
Yeah.
Because it used to be that people would all say, need someone to help raise the farm.
Yeah.
Need kids because when I'm getting too old, need someone to help raise the farm. That doesn't exist anymore. Kids are out by the time you're 50 and you still got 20 years left of good walking around time.
Yeah.
You don't need your kids for that.
No.
So they invent other reasons why I definitely have to have had a kid at an equal rate.
Yeah.
They just change the reason. Yeah. So you are pretty honest about your position.
Yeah.
So since you're not lying to yourself, like most people will.
Since I'm not what?
Lying to yourself.
Yeah.
Because I feel like people lie to me. It's like, oh, are you telling yourself this? I'm like, oh, they're great. Kids are, I love, I wouldn't do anything different. It's like, who are you talking to right now? But like, since you don't lie about it, what would you go back and tell yourself to be careful of, to do, to not do? Would you get married again?
I would have like stayed alone a little bit longer.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, my therapist said I'm a hostile dependent. I'm a hostile codependent.
What does that mean?
Which means I can't be alone.
Okay.
And I'm mad that I about it.
That you can't be alone.
Yeah. So I'm hostile that I am with someone.
Yeah.
Isn't that great?
Fuck you for me needing you.
Yes. Fuck you for me needing you. That's so good, Ari. Fuck you for me needing you.
When they're like, I didn't even do anything.
Yeah, I just loved you. That's all I, you know, and that's why.
Like, and you're mad at them for that.
Yeah.
So what would you do? You'd stay alone a little longer?
I guess so. I mean, and then there's also part of me like, well, I'd probably just be dead too. Like, I probably would have just...
What, drugs?
Yeah, or something, yeah.
What was your thing?
I love drugs.
No, what was your...
All of it.
Really?
Yeah.
Just cross the board drug?
Yeah.
You didn't have your faves, your go-tos?
I mean, not heroin. I never did heroin, but everything else.
Just took some mushrooms. It didn't really hit that hard. You ever have that? And it gets you almost there. It gets you warm. And you smile. And then you're like, and now we're back down. I'm like, oh, nothing worse than that.
Plan
a whole evening around
it. Oh, take ecstasy? That's bunk? Oh, my God.
Oh.
The worst. That's happened to me a few times where like...
Keep waiting for it to kick in.
Yeah, and you have a bunch of people there that you got it for, and everyone's like excited, and you're like, oh, people are probably going to take their clothes off.
Oh, when you get it for other people, so you're responsible for it too.
And there's like a hot girl there that's like, did you get the ecstasy? Because
I sure did.
Isn't saying this, but... Because I'm probably going to take all my clothes off and run around if I'm on ecstasy.
Yeah. It sure is a fun time when you're on ecstasy. You know what they say Molly is now? That's just what ecstasy was 15 years ago when we were doing ecstasy.
But they say Molly's much better.
Here's the deal. They figured out what the pure part, what the ecstasy part of ecstasy was.
Right.
With just the smile, love everything, and none of the speed.
Right.
So they isolated that. This is Molly. But then they started cutting it.
Of course.
And now Molly is just the same as ecstasy
it's
was.
It's ecstasy.
It's just all cut up and just... You still are able to do drugs or not?
No, I can't do drugs anymore because I'm on a mood stabilizer.
Which one you got?
Limictal.
That's Brody's.
Yeah, it's Brody's.
Yeah.
Yeah, he called me. He gave me a great 45-minute conversation. Go slow.
What?
Take your time.
Go slow.
Don't up the dose if you don't need to.
Yeah. How long you been on it?
Since February.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Were you taking drugs in January?
Yeah.
You were still okay, able to do that?
Once I started this, I stopped everything.
Was the wife able to? I mean, were you able to? I'm more concerned not with the mood stabilizers, but like with kids. Are you able to do drugs?
When I say I did drugs, like since I've had kids, I haven't done it that much, but I have like, you know, I was very controlled.
Oh.
Very, very controlled.
I assume everyone's like me.
No.
With responsible drug use. If you got responsible drug use.
That's
what I
did.
You got a big test tomorrow. You can't do mushrooms today.
Oh, yeah. That's me.
You got to be responsible about this.
Yeah, when I would say, like, I would do drugs, I would, like,
do, like... It's Saturday night. Go nuts.
One line of cocaine.
Oh, right. Okay.
Not the bag. Right. Because I would be afraid I would die.
Yeah.
One or two and a beer. Like, I just... I never needed to get to the place of, like, oh, fuck. Yeah. I don't need to get that. Like, I just need to take the edge off.
It's like drug heads don't understand what almost boozers understood after college, where it's like, I don't have to get barf drunk every time. I can have a couple of beers and feel good. And once I feel good, it doesn't mean I have to do more shots. It means stay here for a while.
Yeah.
And then when it starts to go away, then I could do, like, have a beer or something. But, like, drugs are like, feel like, go to the limit every time. It's like, no, man, just feel it.
People would get... We
have
would,
a cap.
We would get a bag.
Yeah.
Of cocaine.
Okay.
And, like, I would get it, and I'd be like, all right, well... Like, one line, a beer, fucking fun.
Yeah.
Talking up a storm. And you're with your, like, best friends in the world, so you're, like, finding out all these things about the people that are usually closed off.
Yeah, that's a coke for you.
It's not, and I'm not talking about comedians. I'm talking, yeah, like, people I went to school with that are, like, a little uptight. And then, you know, they're, like, telling
wide open
everything. You know, you're finding out all the things you want to hear. It's great. And then, like, another beer, cigarette, talking, smoking. Maybe one more line, two lines. Okay, now it's getting late.
Yeah.
It's 12 o'clock. Can't have any more. You won't be able to go to bed.
Right. So what do you do?
I have to stop because I literally won't be able to go to bed and then the next day's fucked. So I go to bed.
Oh. Oh, wow.
Everybody else
keeps going,
stays up and finishes the bag.
Right.
So then you wake up the next day. Like, say I'm talking like a guy's weekend. Right. You're in Vegas.
And you wake up and they're just going to sleep.
They're just going to sleep and the coke's gone.
And there's no coke for tomorrow.
And there's no coke for tomorrow. And it's gone. So you're like, why did you have to do all... They're like, we killed it. We killed it. And I'm like, you didn't have to kill it. You didn't...
Finish the night and go to sleep.
Yeah. And it's gone. So then you're like, all right.
Well, Jen Kirkman was doing this bit about dating younger guys now.
Yeah.
And she was like, there's certain things she didn't understand until she meets, like, they were going home. And she goes, let's go back to my place. We'll get some wine, you know, and we'll just chill out for a while. And the guy, they went home, and then she got home first, and the guy knocked on her door like 2 minutes later from his car. And she was like opening a bottle of wine. And he was like, when did you get this? She's like, what do you mean? Because, I mean, we both left. You're not way behind me. How did you have time to stop? And she had to come to this realization, like, oh, you don't realize you can not drink all the liquor. You can save some, but you don't realize that. Why did cokeheads not realize that?
Such a good bit.
Yeah.
Such a good bit.
It was good. I heard it. Fuck, you're right.
Yeah. I have a friend who's 19 that I do vines with, and we went to lunch the other day, and he's like, this place is really good. You're going to love it. He goes, have you ever heard of shawarma? And I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You've had shawarma before? Like, it's everything with him is, he's not dumb. He's just 19.
So he's just experiencing it.
He didn't know what valet was.
You ever see gay guys go to West Hollywood and come out like, they just move there? And like, I'm gay, and there's nothing anyone can do about it. I live in the freedom of West Hollywood. And all the people that live there are like, yeah, man, we know. We've been here for 30 years. You're not special. Yeah, they just think everything's awesome. My sister got married at 20, and I was like, what are you doing? You don't know shit about yourself yet.
Yeah. That's what the movie's about. The movie's about...
Like, tell me about it. What is it? Is it a regular movie? It's not a documentary or anything?
No, it's a regular movie. It's like... Yeah, and it's just
based on your experiences.
Yeah, it's just about like when you like fall in love with somebody,
mm-hmm,
before you know who you are.
Yeah, and you have to learn while you're stuck with them.
Oh, it's the worst. And fail in front of them, like have your wife come see you do stand up and you bomb, and then you get to the point where you're like, I just don't want you to come anymore. I just don't want you to know what I'm doing. I just go to her work thing. And everybody's like, so what are you? Oh. And now there's the internet, so they know you're a fraud. They look you right up. You're a comedian? Yeah, because we looked you up. We didn't
find much about you.
We saw your IMDb.
It's not full of anything.
You did a voiceover? One? It's not full of anything.
That sucks when you're able to be Googleable.
Yeah, used to be able to. That was my father's whole bit, his whole life.
What?
Bullshitting people. Yeah, just I'm lying. Doing this and that. Oh, really?
Now people can look it up.
Now you can look it up.
Yeah. Oh, that sucks. Yeah, I used to tell people I was an independent contractor. Because I just didn't want to tell them what I did. I'm paired up with you guys for golf. Why are we not going to be friends? I don't want to get into it. What's that like? Have you ever been on this? No, I have not. Whatever you're going to ask me, I've not been on it.
Have you been? You play golf?
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't expect that about you.
I mean, I'm no good, but I played since I was 13, 14.
It looks like fun, but sure, I can't hit the ball straight.
Yeah. Who cares? Just get out there. I finally realized, put the rules book down, quit trying to outscore yourself.
Yeah.
And just drink, smoke some reefer.
Yeah.
Do whatever you do and go out there and enjoy 5 hours in the sun with some friends.
Nice.
That's what it's about. And if you have a birdie once, you're like, fuck yeah, man.
Yeah.
You play hole by hole.
My father ruined golf for me because he would just take me to the driving range and like get angry at my swing.
Oh. No, you just got to have the joy of lifting a ball on the fairway for the first time. Lifting one up in the air and you're like, oh, I did it.
He used to stand behind me and like hold my arms,
ugh,
which is like an impossible.
Trying to fuck you?
Yeah, like it's an impossible way to ever do it on your own.
Yeah,
and then get frustrated and like, give me your hand, give me your arm, like this.
And you're like, I don't know what I'm doing wrong.
Yeah, horrible.
So, what would you tell yourself? Let's go back to that. What would you tell yourself?
I would just say,
no, hold on, wait. What's this movie about? So it's about you dealing with stuff.
It's about marriage. Like, you know, you meet somebody you love,
yeah,
and you don't know who you are, and so you're just this piece of shit.
And learning.
And you're trying to like, you know, you're trying to have an identity.
That was another thing. It was like, as people grow, they grow. You don't know how you're going to grow.
Right.
You don't know if you're both going to get into crosswords or you're both going to want to get corporate or both want to take trips around the world. So you're gambling that you're going to want to grow in this. You're going to end up growing in the same way they grow. That you're not going to become more of a hippie. I've become more of a hippie.
Yeah. Have you?
Yeah, sure. In the last 10 years or so.
Yeah.
But it's like,
what do you mean by that? You've become more relaxed?
I just don't care about shit.
Yeah.
You know, I like to smoke pot. I like to get outside in nature.
Yeah,
just
me
do
too.
Outdoor stuff. Clubs have no draw for me at all.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I gotcha.
Nightclub. And it's just like, you know, mushrooms.
Yeah.
It's hippie shit. I'm like, yeah, man. Whatever, brah.
Yeah. Those were all my friends.
Really?
Yeah, they were all potheads. And I haven't. Since I took this medication, it's the first time in my life I've been calm.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, become a hippie, man. Join us.
I'd like to, but it's new hippie. My wife won't let me out.
It's no tie-dye. It's a new type of hippie.
Yeah?
So you get shit done, but you have your time where you go fucking canoeing.
I love that. Hippies that get shit done.
Yeah. It's not the fucking Jerry Garcia shit anymore. It's better music. You can listen to
Like
you
what?
Can listen, you don't have to listen to Grateful Dead or fucking Fish.
What do you listen to?
Black Keys. But you just go to a Black Keys concert.
I gotcha. Mushrooms. Okay, all right.
It's like whatever, just regular stuff. But you
I think
do
you're starting a thing. I think you're starting a thing.
Yeah, new hippie. Yeah. Wake up late.
Yeah.
I don't know. But have a job.
Yeah, somehow. Make a French press.
Make a French press, sure. That's hippies are fine with that. Yeah, fine teas.
Yeah, they're okay with
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. Wait, how can people find your movie? On iTunes.
Yeah, just go to
how
iTunes
much
and
be?
Buy it. It's $9.99.
Yep. For how long is the movie?
The movie is 85 minutes.
Perfect.
Yeah.
That's the same length as Back to the Future.
Is it?
I think so.
Good. That's what we were going for. We're going for a very Back to the Future kind of thing.
On iTunes and CC Direct.
Mm-hmm.
CC Direct has some stuff.
I don't know if it's on CC Direct. Oh. Is it? What is that? Is that like on your cable, like Time Warner and stuff?
No, it's like a website. /app. I'm not really
I think
sure
it just leads you to iTunes.
Okay, fine. That might be.
But that's fine. It's on Amazon if you don't have iTunes.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm real proud of it. It was really fun. It took me 2 years to make.
Wow. And you played you?
I played me, and I'm making another one now.
Really?
Yeah, I'm making
you
two,
liked it.
Two other ones.
You like the process?
It's the best story. Other than like...
It's kind of guerrilla though, the way you do it, right?
Yeah, I do it guerrilla. But it's the best. It is... for me, it's the... Oh, God.
Making shit.
Yeah, like, if I... Like, to... Like if I were to like pull you and like Joe Rogan in a room,
yeah,
and like write you something,
yeah,
and then to like watch you do it, it's like ultimate
oh,
creativity,
right.
Because it's like, oh, Ari's bringing. I wrote my shitty thing. It's like really shitty, but then like you bring all your
add something to it,
all your things to it. Like Joe Rogan brings all his. It's just oh god,
that's why
gives
I, was,
me a boner.
I was like watching those first or second episodes of TV shows.
Yeah.
Because you have to write a pilot. You don't know who the actors are going to be.
Yeah.
And then they don't really write for them. And then once they realize what they can do well, like Chandler and Friends, like, oh, he's sarcastic. He's good at sarcasm. So they start writing him sarcasm instead of making him force one into.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird early on. George, those first episodes of Seinfeld, like, who's George? Who is this guy?
Yeah. Like, those are the best episodes. I mean, I'm sure it's the same for you. And like, you get a new bit, you don't know, and it works.
Right.
Right. And then you go back and you polish it the next night, and it works even better.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, right. Working on stuff.
I always think if I get a good idea, it like makes me sick to my stomach.
Why? Because you have responsibility towards it?
Yeah, because it's like, oh, this is really personal, and this is a risk. Or maybe it's not personal, but it's a risk. Like, I haven't seen anyone do it.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I got an idea yesterday for stand-up, and I chickened out.
Didn't do it.
But it made me sick, and that's why I know it's good.
Because you didn't do it.
Yeah, I was going to try to explain. I need to think about it more, so I didn't. But I was like, I've been going through a lot about that yes, all women thing.
Uh-huh.
And I've been getting a lot of discussions with people.
It is interesting for getting discussions going.
Yeah. So I was going to try to attack it from like the place of like, well, nobody we don't want to change. It's sort of what you already hit on. But I chickened out last night.
It's hard to give those certain angles on things.
It's so hard.
Yeah, but you can get there, and it's so fun to build it. When you know people are angry at you at first.
Yeah.
Where I did it in my last special, I did like a real anti-child, anti-children thing. I could see people getting mad at me. And so I'd have to I'd have to give these ways around it. Maybe your kid is the one kid who's not annoying to everyone else in the world.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They'd be like, all right, I'll let go. It's
fine. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Good for you. That's good. I like the way Bill Burr does it.
How does he do it? No, just me? What? How does he do it?
I love that impression. Yeah. I like the way he does it. He found a way to kind of talk about his own racism. Uh-huh. He puts it on himself.
Right. He's like, well, I don't know how to be this way, but how do I do it then?
Yeah, but he's still talking about it.
He makes everything real individual. It's not like guys do this, white people do this.
Yeah.
It's, I have this problem.
Yes.
And you can relate to it way better that way.
Yeah. Joke's on him.
Yeah, because either you're like, oh, I've done that too.
Yeah.
As an audience member, or like, wow, that's crazy what you did.
Yeah.
Either way, it's not like, not all men do that. I don't do that. Where you're like, you know, it's just you can relate to me if you want, or you can say, oh, he's great.
Yeah, he is. And I hear Rogan's really good too.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen him.
Yeah, no, he's great. He's been great.
Yeah, yeah, he's been great for a long time.
I've seen him more than anybody in terms of like people that, you know, help shape who I am.
Yeah, he's been good to you, huh?
Fuck yeah. I don't have shit without him.
That's nice.
Yeah, I got a lot of stuff because of him.
And he sort of built up Duncan too, right?
Uh-huh.
Duncan has all his fans.
I mean, his ways, it's just, but even before this like podcast stuff, it was always just like, hey man, you seem funny. I'll take you on the road.
Yeah.
And that road time was so instrumental.
Yeah.
Being able to do shitty, shitty spots at the store at 1:30 in the morning and then do a 320 seat packed room at Cap City Comedy Club.
Wow.
And then go right back to 7 people.
Yeah.
And to get the two of them together, it's like, huh. Oh man, those 6 months, most of my friends saw that. Like after I started going out with them, they're like, dude, you got better.
Yeah.
And it was like, I know what it is. It's got to be that being able to run a little.
Getting more time with 300 people.
Yeah, more time, better crowds.
How long were the sets?
You can work on your pauses and stuff. Depends if he brought another person. He brought me because Joey Diaz would just flake sometimes, just not show up at the airport.
Yeah.
And so he'd be like, dude, I need an opener. Yeah. And I'm going on, we have a show tonight.
Yeah.
Where are you? Ah, I got shit to do. I'm sorry. It's like, what? You need to tell me this stuff ahead of time. So he started bringing a second opener just because he couldn't count on Diaz coming. So then it became sometimes just one. If Diaz wouldn't show up, it'd just be me. So it'd be like half an hour. I did 44 once to open in Denver in Comedy Works.
Yeah.
And his videographer was like, dude, you did 44 minutes. I was like, no way. And I made him show me starting time, ending time.
Yeah.
And I apologized profusely to him. Like, dude, I am sorry.
To Joe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, that's way out of line. It should be 25 to 30, maybe even 20 to 25.
So,
he goes, dude, I killed, man.
Yeah.
I'm like, what do you mean? He goes, I killed. You killed. It's like, I had a great time. Like, I don't understand what you're apologizing about.
Right. He sounds so cool.
Never said a word about don't be dirty. Never said a word about this material. It's just like, figure it out for yourself.
That's awesome.
He pushed me for business stuff more than I wanted to be pushed.
What do you mean?
Get some stuff online, man. Get some clips up. No one's going to know you if you don't.
You do a good impression.
And I fight against it. But yeah, on stage, it was like, develop. However you want to.
It's awesome. I wish I could go through that.
God. Yeah. Thanks, Rogan. Okay. So now getting back to what you would do differently, what you would talk about. We got to your
I wouldn't change a thing.
You wouldn't change a thing? Come on. Would you have kids right away? Would you space them out more? Would you adopt?
I'm not someone who likes to try to, would ever try to change something, because you can't.
No, not change things. Like, I'd rather have be it this way. But going back to where you were, knowing what you'll end up wanting.
You know what would have changed? I would have become really good at something early on and stuck with something and focused on one thing. That's what I would have changed. I would have tried to find, you know, Bert invited me on the road once and I didn't go. I should have gone.
Wow. Why didn't you?
I don't know.
Because that same guy in the cul-de-sac, not going.
Yeah, because I was just like, well, I don't want to really be a stand-up. And
you didn't want to be a stand-up?
Why'd you? Because it would always, I like the idea of telling jokes, but I never liked the idea of like spending my weekend at Bananas.
Mm-hmm. Sure. It was always that.
It's always that, right?
I don't want to be on the road 50 weeks a year. And it's like, no. And I never got it until I started going on the road like last year. And I had a talk with my agent. I was like, got to pull it back.
Yeah.
I'm telling you now, we're maxing out at 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So get the good ones, because I'm going to say no to the.
Good for you.
Yeah.
That's a good way to live.
But still, 2 weeks a month is great. That's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
You go for 4 nights? 3 nights?
3 or 4, sometimes 2.
Do you Sunday nights?
I try to do less Sunday nights. They're a little shittier. But then it's a mixture of some people, like, who goes out on Sunday night? Also, it's mixed, which is like, that's the reason you don't want to do it. But it's also mixed with people that are just like, it's a cheaper ticket. And it's like, I party on Friday and Saturday nights. Sunday nights, I can go to a comedy club, because I'm a young 27-year-old who's in life.
Right.
And so, no, I'm not giving my Saturday to go to a fucking comedy club.
Right.
But so Sunday, it's a perfect sort of...
Yeah, mellow.
Low key. Yeah.
You're still kind of wasted from the weekend.
Yeah. And I view that more of as a workout, like anything you saw on the road that week, or that you can kind of fuck around with a little bit.
Right.
Do some more crowd work.
Right.
You're already sick of your material a little bit. It's been 5 times. You've done it all.
I wonder if I'll ever get a chance to do it. I don't know if I will.
Hmm.
Because where I'm headed now is to make more of these.
Filmmaking.
Yeah. You know, but maybe, you know, I guess if I, you know, I don't know how I would do it. I don't know how I would do it.
Yeah.
I would have to drop that other thing.
My friend Brett.
I don't know how Louis does it.
Oh, yeah, with his kids. Well, he did, I don't know. But
he makes a show and one stand of
his,
up.
Oh, yeah. Well, he makes a show in New York so he can go home to his kids every night.
But how
do you flex your pecs back and forth, or is that just happening?
Oh, yeah, I guess I did.
What, are you doing it on purpose, just to like flex them?
Well, no, it's like, it's just sort of like to make them not tight.
Oh, right. You just like
they get like, because they're so big. They're so big.
Yeah.
Because so I work big. Out so much.
Yeah.
I know that annoys people. You know, the thing that annoys people is when I take my shirt off.
Really?
Yeah, I love it.
I do it all the time. I
fucking love taking my shirt
off. I did a Six Flags yesterday.
You went to Six Flags?
Yeah, with a bunch of comedians.
Was that fun?
Fuck yeah. Got nauseous.
Let me guess, none of those people had kids.
Oh, there were some kids there.
No, but the people you went with.
No, none of them had kids. No, one did. Luis J. Gomez did, but he left his wife at home.
He did?
Yeah, but he has like a 1-year-old.
Hey, Marty, I'm going to Six Flags with Ari.
So you can't do that?
I mean,
all the comics are going to Six Flags.
I could, but...
It would cost you something?
It's all self-imposed. My wife's not a bitch. She's perfect. You know.
Would it cost you something to do that?
Yeah, I would be at Six Flags the whole time like, my son doesn't have a father. My son doesn't have a father.
What?
My son does. Yeah.
Every moment?
Yeah.
I mean, he's off in soccer. This shit he's doing.
I got a call when I came here on Saturday. I got a call from him at 6:30 in the morning. I was in the car. Daddy, why are you alive?
Ugh.
Yeah.
Why, he's 5?
He's 8.
He's the 8-year-old. God. You're like, dude, I'm not that cool.
Yeah.
That's you have friends that are so cool.
That's part of it.
They're into stuff you're into.
Yeah. And you're like, oh, God, he's looking up to me.
Oh, yeah.
You know the thing, you know you're such a piece of shit, and then your son, you don't know this, but you know you're such a piece of shit. Like,
yeah, I do.
And your son walks in, and he's like, you're the best daddy in the world. And you're like, no.
No.
I'm not. And I'll say that to him. No, I'm not. I'm not.
First of all, I know better daddies than me, and I know better people that are daddies than me.
Yeah, like I was just yelling like 10 minutes ago.
Right. Nothing.
Like I yelled, and then I apologized.
And he said, you're the best daddy in the world?
Yeah.
Yeah, own that son, man. You can own it.
That's right.
Get him where he can't disagree
with you. That's right, I'm the best daddy in the world.
Yeah, and if you forget it, I'll punch you.
Go make me a ginger ale.
You know how Daddy likes it.
I don't know. What are you going to do? You going to do stand-up for the rest of your life or what?
I don't know. I mean, realistically, you become irrelevant to a comedy-going audience at some point. Unless you've achieved fame by a certain age, you just make it, you become irrelevant. You're like, we don't want to hear what you have to say. Your experience in life as a 60-year-old, 45-year-olds and up aren't going out to shows. So no one's going to relate to that. And then you're just relegated to out. So I have a plan.
What is it?
Plan is I have some savings. And if I have better years, it goes up. You know, worse years, it goes down. And I'll just keep doing stand-up until I'm out of savings. It was always like, once I'm out of savings, I have to get a job and I can't go on auditions anymore and I can't really be a stand-up anymore. And once I'm out, I'll just eat a bullet. Once I'm out of money, I'll just end it. Like, we had a good run. Let's just call it.
Really?
Yeah.
You'll kill yourself.
Yeah.
No.
Just call it. Why? No. Why keep going? I mean, I'll ring up some credit card debt first. You know?
I don't know you well enough to know if you're kidding or not.
It's the only thing I've really loved doing.
I could never do that. I could never kill myself.
Why?
Too much of a pussy.
Yeah, me too.
Could never
it's
do
hard.
It.
It's hard for that.
I would never be able
you
to
You can work that. Up the courage. As you get older, you'll get more courageous for certain things. That's what I'm banking on.
We're the same age. How do you know?
I used to. No. I don't have it yet. I was suicidal, like probably 5 years ago. Real you suicidal were? For a few years.
Was yeah. it because comedy wasn't coming so easy?
No.
No.
Depression's, you know, not really linked to any specific thing. It might get set off by something, but then it just stays for no reason.
Yeah.
And I kept wanting to do it. I kept wanting to do it, and then I finally realized the reason I don't is that I'm a coward. There would be eventually. I just need one time where I'm not cowardly to get it done.
Are you on antidepressant?
Mm-hmm.
What is it? What are you on?
Disipramine.
I never heard of that.
It's an 80s drug. It went out of fashion, he said. It's just a generic 80s drug. I tried a bunch of other ones. They had either didn't work or gave me too many sexual problems that made me want to kill myself for other reasons.
Yeah. Yeah, one of them said that. The guy said, he says, there's three things. You have three choices. One, you'll get fat.
Remerol got me fat.
Two,
yeah.
You lose your hair. And the third one, you'll be fine. I said, okay, the third one.
Third one, yeah.
He told me I have mania.
You have mania? Yeah. I can see that from your old stand-up.
Yeah. He told me I have bipolar and I have mania.
Mania. What does mania make you do?
Just like racing thoughts. It sounds worse than it is. It's like racing thoughts.
Racing thoughts.
But I feel like everyone has that. Every comedian has racing thoughts.
Yeah, every pothead does.
Yeah, the pot actually makes it worse.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah, he said not to do pot.
More and more in different directions.
Yeah.
So my guy said to do pot.
Really?
I mean, I went in there like...
That's not what
tail between my legs, going, well, I don't have mania.
Right.
But I was like, hey, listen, I didn't want to face this, but just so you know, I smoke weed. I smoke a considerable amount of weed. So is that a depressant? Like, is this possibly leading to, I don't want to accept that it could be, but is it?
Yeah.
And he was like, and this is a good doctor that like insurance wouldn't pay for. Rogan paid for it. That's another way he saved my life.
Seriously?
I mean, I was done. I was done trying. I've been to a couple different therapists. Wasn't getting the advice or the pills. And one therapist go, well, we tried everything, so I don't know what to tell you. And I'm like, all right, so sorry to bother you.
I'll go eat a bullet.
Yeah, I just left into the world.
Wow.
Go up to ledges and look out and see maybe. But like, he was like, let me pay for a guy that's cost like way too much money.
Yeah.
Who doesn't take insurance because insurance will never pay him enough.
Wow.
Yeah. And you know, Logan. He reads constant shit. And
right.
And he's like, no, marijuana's. I've only seen short-term relief from depression, and long-term it has no effects, positive or negative.
Right.
Whereas alcohol has short-term relief from depression, and then long-term negative.
Yeah.
It makes you more depressed.
Burns out your pleasure.
But short-term, it makes you feel wonderful right now.
Yeah.
Burns out what?
Burns out your pleasure centers.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. That's what happened to me. I did too much coke, and I burned them out.
So what? So that means you can't feel pleasure anymore, or you can't?
No, I can, stop feeling... but that's why I was so fucked up.
You feel super pleasure?
No, I felt nothing.
Oh,
I was like, I couldn't be happy. I had low serotonin.
Could you be sad?
Yeah. Angry.
How long did you have that for? How long were you in the hole?
About a year.
A year.
Yeah. But that, I'm great now.
Yeah.
Great.
People say they overprescribe pills, but I'm like, maybe, but they also prescribe them correctly sometimes because I don't. I love my pills.
Mine's the best.
All I get is low blood sugar, so like blood pressure. So like if I stand up too fast, I'll like have to hold on to something for
that's it.
10 seconds. That's my main side effect.
Low blood.
Which I'm like, I can deal with that.
Just eat.
Oh, there's that too. If I get too high or if I don't eat, haven't eaten, then it's like, it's the same thing.
I take mine in the morning and
me too.
It's like a
train. You feel it?
Yeah, it's like, oh. It's like a bee buzzing.
Wow, that's what Kevin Meaney said. I've never felt it.
Yeah?
Mine is just consistent.
Mine's like,
it's in me.
I'll get like adrenalized by something. Like if I have to go on stage, and then instead of like freaking out, it just goes, it just pulls you forward.
Oh, really?
And calms you down, and you're like,
the pills.
Yeah. Sends me down. Like I was doing stand up at Westside a couple months ago, and I was lying flat on the couch in the back, into that couch, and the guy comes back. He's like, "You're on next." And I'm like, "Okay, cool." He's like, "I said you're on next." I'm like, I know.
Wow. You like that?
I love it. That's the way I've always wanted to be.
People worry too. They're like, what happens if I become a zombie? What happens if I become like too much like that?
Yeah.
And this is my answer. I'm like, then just stop.
Yeah.
You won't have to stay on it.
Yeah, I know.
If you discover it gives you too many bad side effects, you just have to look for another way. And you go back to how you already are.
Yeah, I know. I haven't been a zombie or anything. I've never been so creative.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, it's good.
Would you space your kids out at all, or having those 3 years apart was still smart?
No, that was smart. Get them done.
Get them
out.
Did you have a vasectomy or anything?
Do I what?
Did you have a vasectomy or anything?
No.
Did she get anything done?
I mean, we're talking about, I offered to, and then it keeps, I keep not doing it.
I want to get one.
Do it.
I know.
You're not going to have kids, huh?
It's like a thing though. What if I regret not that trip to Africa? What if I really do regret it? It's like that's the only thing that makes me like. But I still feel like adoption is a better way to go.
If you have kids, you would never eat a bullet.
Yeah, I don't want somebody stopping me from doing that if I want to do that.
Yeah, don't have kids then.
If you really don't think you could commit suicide because of the kids?
Never.
Before that, you could have. No, wait. How long ago was this?
No, because I'm a coward.
Right.
But I. I would never, ever, ever in my life.
I would walk under like awnings, not awnings, like scaffolding. And it used to make me scared of like, oh, some shit's going to fall, you know? And now I'd like walk under like slowly. Like not now. I mean, when I was in the depression.
Yeah.
Like, please let a cinder block just take me out. Give me the thing that I don't have. What time is it right now?
I don't know. My friend's calling. 8. Oh, is it 8?
8. Okay. We got like 10 more minutes or so.
How long are your shows?
They go as long as they go. Or until somebody has something they have to do. I have spots. And you have Oyster Feast. What did he say? Did he find a place? Jason Nash on Twitter. What's your Twitter?
Jason23Nash.
Jason23Nash. Why?
That's all that was there.
Oh. Oh, yeah. You have a normal
name. I tried to get it back from the other guy. He wanted $5,000.
$5,000. You want to be like, dude, you have no idea. You don't use it, and I don't have that money.
I made the biggest mistake. He wasn't using it for 3 years. And then I called him, and he started using it again. And then I talked to someone at Twitter. They're like, whatever you do, don't contact the person.
Why?
Because we can take it away if he hasn't used it.
If they don't use it. And I tried that with the YouTube account. And like you said, inactivity is, this guy has Ari Shaffir. It's been 5 years. He's never posted anything, ever. Can I get it?
Yeah.
No response.
You got to know the right people to do that.
Oh, yeah, you got to know the right people.
You know what? Comedy Central can do that. Call Akash and call Nick Dyer.
Akash?
Yeah.
I don't know Akash.
They helped me with my movie. They're great. Nick Dyer. I'll give
I
you the
read him.
They got me. They did
really?
A ton of stuff for me, yeah.
Oh, I bet they do that for me.
They will. They will. They're great.
Okay, so now what do you... So let me tell you this other study and then tell me how you feel about it.
Okay.
The first study was that people will lie about the reason they're having kids, which means they're untrustworthy sources.
Mm-hmm.
The second study is that people are provably less happy with children than without children. Their happiness level goes down in like something like almost like 87% of people are less happy. It's not fulfilled. People usually fight me like, oh, I'm way happy. Like, do you mean the actual word happy?
Yeah.
Or do you mean something else?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But even those 87%, 88% of people that are less happy, it was like 96% would never change it because they're in.
Right.
They're in. So how do you feel about the happiness thing? Tell me your take on it.
I'm miserable.
You're miserable?
Yeah.
You're less happy with the kids?
Oh, yeah. Miserable.
In what ways? How? Why?
Because you just want to, like, go do your podcast. I just want to go. I don't want to talk to anybody and ask someone to
responsibility.
Go. Yeah.
Right?
I don't want to. I want to. I have like. We live in like a nice house.
Yeah.
I've never enjoyed it once. My kids went away one weekend, and I was there alone in the house, and I was like, "This is a nice house."
You don't have parents you can dump them off on?
No, they all live on the East Coast. So, you know, it's unfortunate, and I don't want to shit on my kids and shit on my wife. And my wife feels the same way. My wife walks in the bedroom. She shuts the door on a Saturday at like 3 o'clock, and she's like, what the fuck?
Really?
Yeah. She's like, what? Why wouldn't they just go do something?
Why? What's the reason to have them then?
I don't know, Ari. I never figured it out.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know.
Do you
why.
Feel a kind of love you've never felt before?
Yeah, you do feel that. You do look at them like you love them so much, and you know, you want to do the best for them, and they're a clean slate, which is really inspiring.
So you get to like write on a.
You get to write
that's
on
what
a,
it is.
You get to write on a clean slate.
You get to be one influencing them and teaching them the tricks.
Yeah, and it's great to watch.
So
them
it's
grow.
Like more like about your own ego. Is it like I'm the one teaching them? I taught them how to do that. Is it that? Is it like my thing is grown up now?
It's not that your ego is stroked. It's like, God, I took him to guitar lessons for 8 weeks, and it was a real pain in the ass to go take him to Silver Lake. And then you go to the House of Blues for that one Saturday where they all get to get up and play, and your kid's actually good. And you're like, oh, he has an ear, and oh, he's good at music. It's the same thing if I gave the script to you and Joe Rogan, and you're like, wow.
This is awesome.
Ari killed it. Ari was like, I didn't even think Ari could be that good.
Right.
It's the same thing. It's just that's what inspires me. Like,
but you don't think any of that's a waste? Like you're not going to be a concert pianist. So I love that word. So I'm teaching this thing to play piano or blues, whatever. What do you play?
Guitar.
But that something you're going to do at best at parties once a year when you're 38.
Yeah, but if you think about if you had a kid who was funny and you got him enrolled in a stand-up class and he was amazing,
yeah,
you'd be like, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. Or maybe even if he quit later, you're
maybe
right.
For my kid, like,
for a while.
Goes to music school and he ends up working as an engineer.
Oh, right.
You know, I mean, it's a music engineer, you know, like a producer or whatever it is.
Doesn't
like,
have to be an end goal of this exact thing.
What's that?
Doesn't have to be an end goal.
No, there's no end goal. You're just letting them live their lives and letting them have a childhood because the rest of life is so hard and brutal.
Think of learning Spanish.
You want to live Spanish?
Learn.
You should.
I heard Burr learned it. Diaz told me he was teaching him a little bit. But I was like, it's not for like school or anything. You're just like...
I got to call my friend. He's all mad at me.
Okay. And then we'll finish up. I'll just say what your movie is and stuff.
Okay. Right. And I'm only here for 4 days, so...
Yeah.
All right, I really appreciate you having me on the show.
You're welcome. Enjoy your oysters.
You are such an inspiration because I watched you do warm-up once for like a really...
For what?
Shitty show.
Yeah.
And you were so funny. It was like, it wasn't a shitty show. It was Beat the Geeks, I think.
Beat the Geeks.
Did you do warm up for that?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Well, I saw you do warm up once and you were great. And then I saw you like 8 years later and you were fantastic.
Thanks, man.
So I don't think you're going to have to put a bullet in your head.
Maybe not. We'll see.
I don't think you're going to have to.
When I made that decision, it was like, this could be in the next couple of years. But now it's like, oh, I've got a couple of years safe now. I'm okay.
Yeah, I think, you know, I'm pretty sure you're always going to be a great stand-up, so you'll be fine.
Yeah, but when I hear David Tell before this show that came out was having trouble drawing or something, it's like, okay, that's David Tell.
Having trouble drawing?
Yeah.
Oh, drawing a crowd.
Yeah.
David Tell?
Certain markets, it's like, the further you are off from television, the more people don't know you. And then it's like, that's just everyone's path. I saw Chappelle. He was at the store, and he'd been on an hour. He goes, "All right, I'm getting the light. I got to get off." Then he stopped. He goes, "Man, I'm getting the light. I guess I'm not as famous as I was, huh?"
Yeah.
And it's just that's the reality of it. That's just the reality. Learn from history. Anyway, where can people see your movie? So hopefully I won't kill myself. But where can people see your movie on iTunes?
June 24th on iTunes. You can pre-order it.
Even if you're listening to this today, you can pre-order it already on iTunes. So it'll come to your. It'll just be downloaded.
You get it. It's
when you get it tomorrow.
Like Louis special.
It'll just be there. You don't have to go back.
Watch it. Don't even just download it. Don't even watch it.
Don't even watch it.
Yeah.
You're okay with that.
I'm okay with that too. You've got enough media in your life. You've got to listen to Ari's show.
Jason Nash is married.
Jason Nash is married.
It's a comedy.
Yeah, there's a ton of good people in it.
Who's in it?
Busy Phillips, Rob Corddry, Andy Richter, Dave Koechner.
Wow.
Patton, Paul Scheer, Rachel Harris, Andy Daly.
Why did you lead with Busy Phillips?
What?
Why did you lead with Busy Phillips? Is she your wife in this movie?
Yeah.
Oh, that's why you led with her. Okay, okay. Wow, that's so many good people.
Yeah. Yeah, tons. And there's more. I'm not even listing.
Wow.
Because it feels braggadocious to sit here and list the 30 people that are.
Yeah, well, that's great, man. All right, everybody get fucking Nash's movie. I will be on my way back from China when it comes out.
You're
going to
stand up in China?
Yeah, for 2.5 weeks.
No.
So I'll pre-push this out so it'll come out that day when I'm just getting on the plane.
I love that.
Yeah. All right, bye, everybody. Thanks, Jason.
Thank you.
This American dream is not what it seems. Maybe we're still breathing, but we're all asleep. 'Cause I wanna live.
Episode, you guys. Thank you, Jason Nash. Don't forget to go to jasonnashismarried.com or jasonnashismarried.com/buy if you're looking for something to do with your entertainment buck. Why not give that a chance? I haven't seen it, but I've heard it's good. I've heard from people that I trust entertainmently that it's good. So why not check it out? It was cool to talk to somebody who's I think there's a movie about this too. It's just like someone who had that version of. That version of I don't know, lack of glorifying domesticity. He really is like, I just enjoy that view of it, where it's like, I ain't going to change it, man, but this isn't what I wanted. I mean, I think there's a lot of that. I think it's a lot of, like, you wake up and you're like, man, this isn't what I wanted. It's okay. This is okay, but this is not what I wanted. This is not what I bought. So, anyway, thanks, Jason, for sharing that with me. I wish more people would be honest about it. I really do. I wish more dudes would be honest with other dudes, and I wish more girls would be honest with other girls. When Tracy Renazzisi got married, I mean, afterwards she was like, you know what? That's all I wanted for fucking a decade and a half. And then I got it, and I realized, oh, it was just some wedding night. Like, who cares? Just some party, and it was done. I was like, I want that version of things to be more out there. Just like, all right, it's still nice. It's still nice, but, you know, it is what it is. It's not that great. There's still shitty parts of it. Fucking B. What else? Yeah. Okay, I think I'm done. Don't forget to go to my Amazon link. Go to AriTheGreat.com. Check out my... By the way, there's always little extra features from every episode if you go there. All the music will be in there. Music choices, the people's Twitter address, links for that, and their websites. I'll have stuff on for jasonnashismarried.com. I'll have links there. And but don't forget to go to my Amazon link. Do some of your Amazon shopping through my site. I made a stupid decision to pay all the comedians $50 an episode that come and do this back when I thought I'd be continuing to get advertisements every week. So help out my stupid decision. Go to AriTheGreat.com. Click on the Amazon link, then just do your Amazon shopping as is. And you'll be fine. Until next week, everybody. I think I've got a... Oh, I might not have any saved up. I might be out of them now. But until next week, I'll talk to you later. Ari Shaffir, Skeptic Tank, episode 172. Fucking bugs. Begrudgingly domesticated. Jason Nash. Over and out.
Oh, our story always starts so promising, and then something will go awry. Yes, something will go awry. What began ideal will simmer down to real, and these heights are not quite so high. No, these heights are not quite so high. Oh, to what do I choose to buy? Oh, to what do I choose to buy?
praise. Be it treasure or laid to waste. Be it pleasure or pain or taste. This is my heart. This is my heart. Oh. The storm ensues and I am overcome. Oh, to struggle or be subdued. Oh, to fight or be let to lose. And the choice to leave is mine to give away. But to what do I hold on to? Oh, to what do I hold on to? Though in pieces I push on through. This is my heart. When the dark.